A demon has taken my life from me, and he's living it better than I do.
We're working on it. There has to be a way to get to Buffy to unhypnotize her. I'll find a spell to snap her out of it.
Right. Whatever.
Xander, you sound a little... You have to help me figure this out, you know.
But I never help. I get in trouble and Buffy saves me.
That's not true. Sometimes we all help to save you.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for our first time giving a review or reaction. We're your hosts. I'm Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking about Season 5, Episode 3, titled The Replacement, directed by James A. Contner, written by Jane Espenson. Original air date, October 10th, 2000, to an audience of 5.34 million people. And gonna kick it off right now with some shout outs for people that have gotten us some stuff off of our Amazon wish list. We got some stuff from JL, our Discord user, and Surly Neighbors. Thank you both so very much. Really appreciate it. And really having a good time with that. I don't think we have any regular shout-outs in terms of reviews. I didn't get any Spotify DMs, didn't get any Apple Podcasts rating reviews. But, yeah, join our Discord. We have a lot of good stuff going on in there. Yeah. How are you doing, Vance?
I am good.
What do you think about initial thoughts on The Replacement?
We're doing a lot of body switch stuff.
Oh, yeah, we are.
Even though there's a little twist to this one, it's fine. We find out a lot of information about stuff that we've been, like, mentioning.
Oh, yeah, we do.
So that's something.
Oh, yeah, we do. And my Lord.
Yeah.
Is it confusing?
Confusing?
Is. Yeah.
Huh.
I'm confused.
By what?
How the hell Anya affords to live in a place like she does.
I'm confused why it's a big deal she lives in that place and they don't just go there.
Yeah.
All the time.
Dude, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
But a little plug up top. This is still relatively new, but seems like you guys enjoyed the fashion report. I appreciate that fashion report support. So, looks like we'll be continuing doing that. That's every Thursday on Patreon, patreon.com/boyswatchingbuffy, where we do Boys Watching Angel and Boys Watching Movies, where we just reviewed Renfield. And a lot of content coming your way, guys. So be on the lookout for that. And that's a good time. Also, I want to do a little plug. I know that we talked about our Amazon wish list and we decided to up our game. We got a thing called a throne.
We?
Which, yeah. We got a thing called a throne. Everybody's been like, what if we want to get, not everybody, but one person was like, what if we want to get you something that's not on Amazon? Because we ran into some limited Buffy stuff on Amazon. And we all know that the Etsy is where the good Buffy stuff is. So we made a throne, which is like an Amazon wish list that is not limited to Amazon. So we'll have that link somewhere. But also, thank you so much for your generosity. You guys have been very kind to us. And, yeah, some of the stuff that you guys have gotten will make appearances on the fashion report. So there we freaking go, everybody. All right. Shall we get into The Replacement here, Vance?
Yes.
All right. So the episode opens up with a recap of Dawn being like, nobody knows who I am and nobody cares and everybody thinks Buffy's so cool and nobody asks me questions and nobody loves me. Get that recap. We get a recap of Anya getting knocked out, which is very confusing when this episode opens.
Yeah.
Because they made such a big deal about, like, oh my God, she got punched in the face. Her head hit the ground. this is like some pretty serious head trauma. And then we open the episode and Anya has her arm in a sling.
I was like, sure. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, it would be one thing if they didn't call out like, yeah. No, this is some head trauma. She needs to go to the hospital. And she was knocked out and all fuzzy, like concussed. And yeah. Then we open it with an arm in a sling.
It's like, did they not? I don't know how in farm production they were with these two episodes. But did they not go, oh, we're going to have her in a sling the next episode. Can we just dub in, oh, her arm looks bad into the previous episode? Like, or don't show the recap where he talks about her head and instead just see her get punched and fall and then edit that out. Like, there's so many ways to like not make it about the head and then arm immediately. Yeah.
It's very funny. Very funny to me.
Just like, don't show Riley. She needs to go to the emergency room for the concussion.
So it's Riley, Buffy, Xander, and Anya in Xander's basement watching some kind of martial arts movie. And you can hear off in the distance Xander's family come home and they're arguing. And it sounds like some very serious domestic violence going on upstairs. And everyone downstairs is like, oh man, that sounds kind of wacky. It sounds pretty weird up there. Like, it's awkward, but they're not taking it seriously.
I mean, I think they do a good job with this. This is like if you were at someone's place and their parents were arguing and you don't know where to look. I think that's what they're doing.
I don't know. Just the tone of it felt weird to me. It was just like,
well, this
people
scene
kind
is,
of scratching their heads like,
this scene has like three or four things trying to establish in this like weird basement where they're just sitting awkwardly. And the thing about Xander's parents, besides Restless, and besides him saying some stuff and like maybe that Christmas Amends episode where we see the family fighting or whatever.
Yeah. Or him sleeping out on the lawn.
We don't get a lot of Xander's family stuff, but we get a lot of them being in his basement. And this is the first time we've heard this.
Yeah.
Like, we might need to sprinkle it in a couple of times, you know? Like, Giles has been there. Riley has been like, having withdrawals and running upstairs, like, you know, like it's so much stuff.
It's more like whenever people are in his basement, they complain about like, oh, we're in a dank basement. Yeah. It's not like we can hear your parents fighting all night long. Like
Anya has come in through the front door and come down the steps. Like,
yeah. So here's one of the things that they're trying to establish. It's Buffy taking school seriously out of nowhere, or is this Slayer stuff?
Slayer studying.
Okay, well, she's reading about medieval times and she's not really paying attention to the movie at all. And Riley's kind of like, hey, Buffy, like, everything good? Like, you're not paying attention to the movie. And Buffy's like, oh, yeah, I'm just like catching up on my studying. I guess I could take a break from the violence too. Closes the book, watches the movie. It's like kung fu martial arts. She's like, violence.
Did she not think that she was going to read that book when she walked over to Xander's basement with a giant history book? Hey, we're going over to Xander to watch martial arts movie. Okay, I'm going to bring my giant book.
Yeah.
Apparently, Xander has a cat also that peed on a hot plate.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, then so Riley sees that how stressed Buffy is about all this stuff, so he starts massaging her. And then Xander looks over and he's like, oh, that's a good idea. You know, Anya's feeling pretty shitty too. Let me massage Anya. Like, I'll be a good boyfriend too. So he starts massaging Anya and Anya's like, ow, what the fuck are you doing? I have a dislocated shoulder, you piece of shit. Why are you touching me? And he's like, sorry. Okay.
This is like the first injury that people have sustained fighting these people. Like, they've been knocked out and stuff, but like, we don't get lingering. We never come back to an episode and like,
yeah, like Willow has a crutches or anything. Spike was in a wheelchair for a bit. But anyway. So then
all those invalid vampires that you see.
So then Buffy is like critiquing the action in the martial arts movie. She's like, oh, this isn't realistic. You would go after the big guy first and blah, blah, blah. And Riley is kind of like, hey, Buffy, it's just a movie, dude. Like, calm down. And then Buffy's like, well, if Willow was here, she'd be critical of witchcraft. If there was witchcraft in a movie, and like, she'd be here watching a witchcraft movie and be pissed about it. And Xander was like, yeah, she'd be all like, yeah, a cauldron. Who uses a cauldron anymore? Cut to a demon using a big cauldron wishing for the death of the Slayer.
Yep.
And then we get to our intro credits. And then we come back and it's time for Xander to start looking for an apartment. He has decided he's going to move out. He can't stand living in his basement anymore and hearing his family arguing all the time. So he's looking for an apartment in this outfit that looks ridiculous. He looks insane. We'll talk about it more on the fashion report, but just know that Xander is our former champ, and he is how the mighty have fallen.
He's got a Ace Ventura look going.
Yes, he does.
And I kind of get what they're going for, just so you can have the contrast. So
I understand it.
I almost had a problem with Riley's jacket in this one. It looked like
it's too big.
It's too big, and it looks like he's dressed like, it looked like he's wearing the Slayer's like clothes in a weird way.
It was like a weird mix of like Slayer clothes and Giles's clothes.
It was weird when he was sitting on the mattress kissing Buffy, and just the way it was falling. That's when it looked weird to me.
But they're looking for an apartment. This is their first kind of foray into apartment hunting. And they go in and it's this humongous apartment. Like, giant, lovely, huge, like, windows. Looks, I don't know what they are thinking with this.
Where's Riley living? Like, I wish we would have figured out that.
Yeah. We do see Riley driving for the first time.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we get a lot. We get Anya's apartment, we get Riley driving, going 70 miles per hour.
Yeah. Looked like on just like a pedestrian street too. Like
that's all there is in Sunnydale. Yeah.
But Anya loves this apartment. She's like, this is great. He'll take it.
Yeah.
And Xander's like, whoa, hold on a second. Let me look around. So they're walking around. This apartment realtor lady is showing them around. Like, hey, here's all this stuff. Here's the kitchen. Here's the living room. Bedroom's through there. And Xander goes to look into the bedroom, and Riley and Buffy are like on the bed making out. And Xander's like, guys, really? Save it for the bedroom. And they're like, oh, this is the bedroom. And Xander's like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's like, this isn't anyone's bedroom right now. Like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was very weird and very rude. Very rude. They're trying to christen Xander's apartment before he even signs the lease, Vance? That's rude.
It's not Xander's apartment until he signs the lease.
Oh, okay, fair. So Xander gets an application for it, and the lady is like, all right, well, here's the application, and you're going to need we're going to need a credit check, we're going to need first month rent, last month rent, security deposit, the total's all the way at the bottom. And Xander's like, wait a minute, what? I thought you just needed like references. This is my first time apartment hunting. And the realtor's like, no, idiot. Like, this is an intense process. And Xander's like, all right, well, let me take the application. I'll think it over. And Anya's like, just take it. We need to live here. I can't stay in your shitty ass basement anymore. This place is great and I love it. And I want to stay here. Just get it. And Xander's like, dude, you have your own place. It's not like you'd be living here. And then Anya is just like fucking rude as hell in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, well, just work for more money. If you can't afford it, why don't you just fucking work harder? Like, it's not hard, Xander. Just get more money and you can have your stupid Scooby meetings here. You can do all this stuff here. Like, I just don't get why you... And this goes back to our thing of like, what does Anya know and what doesn't she know? And does she not know how the world works or money works? And she's just so insanely rude. And everybody, this like made, the rest of the this Scooby made gang.
This makes sense to me at the end.
Well, the rest of the Scooby gang is like there and they're all looking like, oh, this is awkward. And the realtor lady's like, oh, this is weird.
This, for me, the weirdest thing is the realtor lady later after seeing this. After seeing everything she saw here, for her to do what she does later makes no sense.
Yes. Yeah. But I was just like, damn, Anya, fucking tumbling down the likability rankings.
My thought here was that I was like, is Anya pregnant? Honestly, I think that's what they're alluding to, because later we have a childbirth statue that at Giles's place.
Yeah. You
know, that's the kind of mislead they're doing. And because that's the only way she'd be so adamant about, like, we need to do this together. Like, he's like, why do you need this? She's like, we have to. And he's like, what?
Dude, if that prediction's right.
It's not. No, that's not a prediction, because it's not. She explains at the end why she's acting the way she is.
But it could also be something. I mean, it is hinting towards that.
I'm saying, I think this is a mislead. I think that was a mislead.
It could be a double mislead, Vance. Gotcha. Is she pregnant with the wolf's baby?
You're really fighting for these things, man.
I don't know. It's fun. But anyway, so after they fight in front of everybody, we go over to the magic shop, and Giles is like checking out the inventory and putting some stuff away. And then the demon from right before the credits shows up, the one that was using the cauldron. And Giles is like, oh no, it's a demon in here. And he's like, where's the slayer? And then Giles is like, oh, she's right over here. And he grabs his statue and just like, he first grabs some other kind of talisman and he shows it to the demon. The demon's like, that's nothing. Mm-hmm. And then Giles is like, well, what about this? And he shows another one and he's like, what are you doing? I'm just here for the slayer. And then he pulls out that fertility statue. And then the demon's like, that's a fucking fertility statue. Like, what? I'm not here for you. Where's the slayer? And then Giles is like, all right. And then he turns around and then tries to beat the shit out of this demon with the fertility statue. And then the demon just kind of punches him out. And I thought we were going to get knocked out Giles. Mm-hmm. But he has developed a chin over these past few years.
Yeah.
He just kind of like flies into some boxes and he's like, ooh.
I don't think people who get knocked out often get less knocked out. I don't think it's something like you build a couch over. I think it's...
No, yeah. You're more prone to being knocked out after being knocked out that many times.
Yeah.
But so yeah, after he gets punched down, the demon's kind of like, look, my beef isn't with you. I'm looking for the slayer. I feel like you're connected to the slayer, so let her know that I'm looking for her. And Giles is like, okay.
And I guess I'll just go hide again and not just wait for her to show up.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, this is like one of those episodes where the demon plays like the tiniest role, kind of like in Earshot. And then, there was another one where it was like that. But it's something like that, where it's like a background actor.
It makes me question how much he really wants to get Buffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't really want it.
Yeah.
But so after the demon leaves majestically and floating on a little like cloud, it seems like, Giles is relaying to the gang, the Scooby gang, about how he stood up to this demon. And he's like, yeah, I took this statue. And I was like, yeah. And then everyone's like, whoa, that's crazy. So you beat up the demon? And he's like, well, I mean, not really. But I did hit it with some stuff. And they're like, oh, so did it hit you? And he's like, I mean, yeah, it punched me across the room. But I mean, I'm just kind of stoked that I'm not unconscious or dead. That's a W for me. And they're like, okay, cool. And then Riley's like, I mean, I hate to say I told you so. Or Xander's like, I hate to say I told you so. But owning this place, we did kind of tell you that this is a dangerous proposition. Mm-hmm. And it's not even open yet. And you're already getting beaten.
It's funny when Riley grabs the statue and swings it. It has like that big whoosh, like that sound of like real force.
Yeah. And like, then he's like, so you beat it with this statue? Here, let me try. And Willow's like, that's a statue of a fertility god or whatever. And then Willow's looking up the name of the demon, or Giles is, somebody is. Willow hands Giles a book.
What do you think of the Scoobies meeting at the magic shop for the first time? Like, what do you feel about this? Like, how do you like this
layout? I think that I like it more later, but in this scene, it's weird because Willow and Buffy are just kind of like sitting on the floor.
Yeah, they don't have their table. They don't have the library vibe yet.
Yeah, they need to have a table or some chairs. Like at Giles's place, they had chairs and a table. Here, they're just kind of like sitting on the ground.
And it's like still like not unpacked, so it's like cluttered.
Not a big fan. But they figure out the name of the demon. His name is Toph. And then they try to force in some joke about British slang. But not really good. So they get a little profile of what Toph is. And he is focused and sophisticated. And he has like this very intense focus. And he wants to kill the Slayer. And so he's going to be focused about it. And Riley's like, well, let's find out where he is so I can go and kill it. And
Riley.
yeah. You're gonna get your ass kicked.
Buffy is not even like phased anymore by this stuff. Like she's just like, oh, there's a demon that showed up, almost killed Giles and wants to kill me. All right. Mm. Who wants ice
cream? What else is new? So Giles is like, I kind of have a hint about where this demon will be based off of its smell. And they're all like, oh, what does it smell like? What's it smell like? And Giles is like, it had a very potent, pungent smell. And they're like, all right, so what do you think? And then it cuts to the gang at the city dump.
Yeah, I don't understand how Giles figured that it was a dump smell.
Yeah.
Like,
I guess it smelled like trash?
Like, couldn't that just be a dumpster? Like, what? Like, I don't know. All these vampires live underground and stuff. Like, for him to be like, oh, this is definitely the city dump. I smelled on Spike all the time. Like, you know.
If we went back to that scene before the intro, he's not at the city dump with his cauldron. It seems like he's in a cave or something.
Yep.
Eh, whatever. So they go to the city dump and they see Spike there, who is scavenging. He is now an urban forester. scavenger. And they're like, what are you doing here, Spike? And he's like, I'm getting some trinkets and stuff. Look at this. Isn't this cool? He's got a shopping cart. And so they're like, well, we're looking for a demon. Have you seen a demon with long, flowy robes? Skin looks like it's fallen off. Crazy green eyes. And Spike's like, you mean like that demon that's right behind you? And they turn around and they play like this really intense music. And I thought it was going to be a fake out.
I did too. I 100% thought it was going to be a fake out.
Yeah, I thought it was like Spike playing a little cheeky little prank on him. But it's not. The demon is right there. And the demon's like, yeah, I'm going to attack you. And Spike's like, hell yeah, get him. Kill the girl. I hate her.
I still don't understand how the twist is going to happen where they get to, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. How they get there is beyond my scope of understanding right now.
It has to be this season or next. Right? I guess it's the end of the season.
I have no clue. But the demon has like a demon shooty gun thing.
He has a Roman candle shooter. That's all it is.
Oh, okay.
It looks like a Roman candle.
See, I've never used a Roman candle. Did you?
No, but have you ever seen one being used?
No.
Do you even know what it is?
That's why I said a little demon gun shooter thing.
Do you know what a Roman candle is?
Is it like a firework thing where it's like a stick where fireworks shoot out of it?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I never played with those. We had bottle rockets. We had those.
All right,
you put them in a bottle and shoot them out.
You don't have to experience everything to know other things, you know?
Okay, Vance. I'm sorry.
I've never played with it, so I can't even figure out what the name.
Well, I've heard of Roman candles before.
That's what I have. Never... Like, if you, yeah.
Yeah. So he's shooting his Roman candle gun at the gang and they're dodging for a little bit. And then he tries to shoot Buffy. Buffy gets out of the way and it just blasts Xander right in the freaking chest. And he goes flies into some trash. And then the demon just goes away.
Yeah. Why?
He's, Yeah, like, this is what we're saying. Like, he's not really trying.
He's such a... And then he disappears for the rest of the episode until it's time to die, basically. Yeah. Like,
like, there's so many logic, like, why are they doing this? Why isn't this happening in this episode? Where I was just like, what? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
This is one of them.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about the demon at this point running away as much but then at the end, I'm like, oh yeah, he has not been around at all.
Yeah.
And he just kind of lucked out with them coming to the dump. Because,
yeah.
Why would you expect them to come here? And why did whole team go? Like, if I'm Giles, I'm like, I guess I'll follow you. It's safer than the magic shop.
Yeah, true. So Xander gets blasted, the demon goes away, and then the gang all huddles around Xander, like, Xander, oh my god, are you okay? And he's like, I kind of hurt. And they pick him up and they're walking him, and he's just like, this doesn't feel too great. And as they're walking away, they're like, all right, well, let's get some rest, let's heal you up, Xander. They walk away, and we cut over to where Xander was shot, and there is another Xander there. And he is still there and all fucked up. So then...
Well, I just want to say this for the Xander defense. He pushed Buffy out of the way and took a blaster shot to the chest.
Oh, he pushed her out of the way?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, what do you...
I thought that Buffy just dodged and he was standing there.
No, I think he, like, gets in front of it. No.
Well, there we go.
That's the way I think I saw it. I don't think she moved out of the way and just let him get hit. I think he stepped in and took the hit for her.
Well, Vance, this is as close as you'll get to being in the Xander debate channel. So appreciate your contributions.
I'm just stating that. That's all. Just putting another little argument on one side for you guys. Don't worry. Xander will do something stupid later in this episode.
Oh, he does something stupid in this episode. He does a bunch of stupid stuff in this episode. So it's the next day, and Xander that was in the trash wakes up, and he's like, oh, wow, my head hurts. Man, this is crazy. Guys, why am I waking up in the trash? This is crazy. So then he wakes up, and he's like, I got to go home. Starts walking home, goes to his home, and he tries to open the door, and it's locked. And he's just like, Anya, are you in there? Huh? He's knocking on the door. Nobody answers. He gets up. He's looking through the window. And through the window, he sees replacement Xander. And I know we talked about a while ago that Xander has a twin brother, the actual actor.
Yes.
Nicholas Brendan. And it is portrayed here by his twin brother, Kelly Donovan.
That is his twin brother?
Yep.
In most of these, like, scenes, because the split screens in this are amazing. So I was like, because his brother I've seen a picture of his brother. His brother looks like him, but they don't look fully identical.
Well, I think they did a good job of, like, fussing up between the two of them to make him look enough alike. But based on what we know later on in this episode, it was a good dichotomy. But I looked up Kelly Donovan before this to see a picture of him, and he does look like Nicholas Brendan.
And I mean, they do some really good stuff, like where they're like over the shoulder and stuff. It's not just like, hey, here's a split screen clearly. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like interacting with each other, overlapping, and it's like really nice. Like,
yeah, because I was thinking the same thing too, where I was like, well, I know that he has a twin brother, but I don't know if he's like an identical twin.
Yeah.
But then some of the scenes in this episode, I was like, there's no way that's a split screen. They're like touching each other.
Yeah, right. And like, the technology just wasn't there. We're not doing face replacements on body. Like,
Dude, I mean, based on all of the CG stuff that we've seen and then like green screen shit that we've seen, like there's no way that they could have pulled this off.
Yeah. It's not like when Vamp Willow and Other Willow are together and they're like, obviously like just split screen, they can't cross over, it's behind the person, you can cover their face or whatever. They do a better job of having the two Xanders than they do with like the stunt woman for Buffy. Because when you see those clips, you're like, that's not Sarah Michelle Gellar at all.
No, yeah. It's just like a jacked dude. But yeah, so Xander's peering through the window and he sees replacement Xander. And that is how I will be describing this Xander.
Fair
replacement
enough.
Xander. So he's like, what the hell? There's two Xanders? That's me, but I'm me. How is this possible? Oh, fuck. I gotta call Buffy. And I was like, smart. That should be number one priority. Call Buffy.
Or just go to Buffy,
which is what I am going to be harping on throughout this episode. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go call Buffy. How does he not have a key to his own house? How come he doesn't just go through the front? Like, how is he locked out of his own house?
Well, I don't think he wanted to go in while Demon him was in there.
Okay.
But he
fair enough
could have gone to Giles's, the magic shop. Like, so many things he could have done.
Yeah. There's so many things. Yeah. Instead, he goes to a payphone, which, what a relic.
Mm-hmm.
What a relic. People these days, like Gen Z people, I don't think they even know what a payphone is.
You see them on TV and movies, and you're like, huh, all right.
Yeah. Dude, there was a whole goddamn movie about it. Phone Booth, Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Takes place at one phone booth, the entire movie.
Yeah, I saw that in the theater.
Did you enjoy it? I remember thinking it was very not good.
They did as much as they could for what it was, but not. Yeah, it's. Yeah, if it wasn't for that gimmick, I don't think anyone even referenced it ever, and I don't think it gets referenced often. This might be the first time it's been brought up.
We're bringing it back, everybody. Phone Booth, starring Colin Farrell.
All of a sudden, it gets like five watches, and someone's like, "Who is?"
So Xander's at a phone booth, and he's like on the phone with the operator, and he's like, yeah, the phone booth ate my quarter. And then out of nowhere, he like finds a quarter, and he's like, oh, I don't need your help anymore, so I got a quarter. And as he's like doing this argument, replacement Xander walks by, and Xander's like, oh, I don't need to call Buffy anymore. I'm going to follow replacement Xander. What? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that was when I was just like, dude, don't give up on call Buffy still and then follow him.
Yeah.
Or go to Buffy or attack him from behind. He doesn't do anything to this replacement Xander at all.
Well, it would have been one thing if you know what they could have done? They could have done that thing where they keep missing each other. Like that Xander leaves his place and then he comes in and he's like, oh shit, I'm gonna be late for work. And then he gets to work and then he's at the work and he's like, oh man, they're like, what are you doing here? I thought you were in the boss's office. And he's like, what? And he goes to the boss's office and sees, like, you know, but yeah, whatever. I mean, there's different ways to do it, but
it's like, Xander, weren't you just here? You just ordered a coffee back again.
What? The espresso pump? Like, yeah, we could have had a bunch of, yeah.
Yeah. But instead, he starts to follow replacement Xander sneakily. Then we cut to Buffy at her place, and Buffy's gathering weapons to fight this demon Toph. And Riley's there, and then they are talking, and they share a kiss, and they're smooching. And then Dawn is in the hallway watching this, and she's like, ew, 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 ew. And for a second, I was like, oh yeah, Dawn is now in this.
Yeah.
It was like the last episode was such a heavy focus on her and like, whoa, what's the mystery? And now we're at this Xander thing. And this is like the only scene that Dawn is in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what are they doing?
My notes on this is Riley is worried and I'm not sure why he's worried for some reason. And then Dawn is being annoying.
Yeah, Dawn does the whole Buffy... He's like, get out of my room. And Dawn's like, I'm not in your room. I'm in the hallway. Nanny, nanny, boo, boo. And then Joyce comes out and she's like, oh, this is my two teenage daughter headache that I have.
These two teenage daughters that I totally, totally remember having.
Yeah. And then so Buffy is like, get out of here, Dawn. And Dawn's like, I'm in the hallway. And then Buffy's like, oh, you're in the hallway. Well, I'm just going to close my door. Slam. And I was like, why did... Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is your door open anyway?
Yeah, that's what hit me. I was like, Mom, Joyce is not even worried that Buffy's in her room with a grown-ass man.
And Joyce's room, it looks like, is right across the hall from Buffy.
All right. I thought about that and I was like, oh, maybe it's just me. Maybe I didn't realize this. But I never thought their room was straight across. But maybe.
Yeah, me neither. But it's like Joyce comes out of her room like, oh, this is my two teenage daughter headache that I have.
Yeah, just close your door, Buffy. It was like the longest scene for something that was so simple to solve.
Yeah. Yeah. But this scene, I guess, is just a reminder that Dawn exists.
Yeah. She really does exist, guys.
Yeah, she does. The limit does not exist. So then we go to a scene where Spike is in his little tomb crypt thing. And he's dressing up a mannequin like Buffy. And he's like, oh, hello there, Slayer. Oh, looking good, Slayer. And then he just kicks it in the face, knocks its head off. And he's like, oh, that felt good. All right.
And I was like, he wants to kill the Slayer? Really? Still? Why?
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. Like, there are evil people. Evil vampires and stuff, right? But not all of them want to kill the Slayer. Like, yeah, Mr. Trick's
just want to get by.
Yeah, Mr. Trick's plan was never like, let's kill the Slayer. The mayor was never like, I need to kill the Slayer.
Like, yeah. I think the only, like, the cunning and conniving ones only want to kill the Slayer when the Slayer gets involved.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the Slayer's going to be a problem. But they all know what Slayers are, too. Like, it's not like you're just a regular vampire. You saw a Slayer kill someone, you're like, fuck it, we gotta take her out. They know the history. They know that killing a Slayer makes a new Slayer.
Yeah.
So, like, wouldn't you just kidnap? And you would just want to kidnap a Slayer. You wouldn't want to
keep her alive. Yeah. Kind of like what? Just keep her alive, chained up, under your surveillance.
Yeah, if possible, if you can, because I mean, it's so few things that can lock them up. They break out.
I guess they just want the clout of being like, I killed a Slayer. Like, it's a brag.
Or the Slayer would end up in Memphis and not Sunnydale, and it wouldn't be your problem anymore.
There you go. Do you think if a Slayer it's one thing, because, like, remember when Faith first showed up? She was from Boston. Fucking wicked cool dude. Her watcher sent her to Sunnydale. Like, you think if another Slayer popped up in Memphis?
I don't know if her watcher sent him, because her watcher was killed by that old guy.
Right,
and,
right,
like, she was just
right.
Like, she was on the run.
Yeah. Do you think it's one of those things where it's like they're attracted to the Slayer? Like, they need to be around it?
At first, they were supposed to be attracted to the Hellmouth.
Oh, yeah, but then the Hellmouth is closed.
Or, I mean, that's originally why everyone was in Sunnydale. I mean, the Hellmouth, I guess, still exists.
It's like a beacon of light for demons and vampires.
Yeah, I don't think,
I mean, it just doesn't make sense what Spike is doing, dude. Like, he's a world traveler. Like, he's traveled the world and he's just staying in Sunnydale. There's nothing for him there.
He's still not trying to help his chip thing.
Yeah.
Like, if he was digging in the garbage looking for, like, a lost gem or something, or, like, I don't know.
Some kind of scalpel.
Just a sharp piece of metal, scrap metal.
He gets tetanus early. Yeah. He's got a tetanus shot.
Yeah.
But, so Spikes kicks this mannequin in the face and he feels good about it. So then we get replacement Xander at the construction site where real Xander works. And replacement Xander grabs Xander's helmet and he starts doing construction stuff. And then his boss is like, hey, Harris, come over here. And then real Xander, like, shows up and he's spying on replacement Xander. He's like, what's going on here? Huh? And then the boss pulls replacement Xander into his little office thing. And he's talking to him and he's like, you know what, Harris? How long have you been working here? Like, 3 months-ish? About 3 months? And replacement Xander's like, yeah, it seems good. Seems about right. And he's like, well, you know what? I gotta compliment you, man. Like, you've been doing some really great work here. And I'm really proud of you. And you know that this job is kind of winding down, which is something they reference earlier in the episode when they're talking about the application and how much regular Xander can afford the apartment. He's like, this job's winding down, but I really like you. I think you're a great worker, and I would like you to be like the manager, construction manager or something on this new job site.
They say, I want you to head up the interior carpentry crew.
There you go.
Which is insane after only being 3 months on this site.
Yeah. Especially based on what we see him do.
Like he might be good at... We haven't seen him actually do much work. Like, we don't know how good he is at carpentry and all that stuff. But, like, to be heading up this crew after 3 months, good luck, man. These guys are going to be...
yeah. And the whole time that this conversation is happening, replacement Xander has this coin. Mm-hmm. And he keeps, like, shining it in the boss man's face. It's kind of like how like a sun reflects off of like a shiny surface and you can like kind of blind people with it.
Yeah.
He's doing that to his boss, which I was like, man, this is kind of rude. Like
real Xander outside the window is like, how is he not seeing that coin? I'm like, yeah, man, it's like a beam of light just bouncing around that little interior of the construction
cabin thing. Yeah. Yeah. But he's like, yeah, we're going to offer you this new job at this new site. It's full time and it's higher pay. And I think you'd be perfect for it. And replacement Xander's like, hell yeah, you know what? I'll do it. And real Xander's out there spying in on this and is like, what? How did he get this new job? How did he get it before I did? I'm the one that did all the work. And I was like, this is his first interaction with anyone. Like, he didn't, you did all this. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, because we get to that later scene where he's like, he's living my life better than me. I'm like, but he didn't do anything.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything. Like, everybody thinks it's still you.
Yeah. Like, and it makes sense when we get to the real twist at the end. But when I was watching it, I was like, how are you even thinking this?
That's, dude, I was baffled. I was like, what? I would let this guy live or just fuck
him. I mean, he's not doing anything different besides dressing different.
I mean, he is dressing.
Which made me go, wait, Xander has clothes like that? Our reigning fashion champion has, like, normal-ish clothes?
Well, I don't even really like his normal-ish clothes here. I prefer the Flash, but we'll get to it.
You prefer what regular Xander's wearing to replacement Xander?
That's hard. That's tough because real Xander right now.
Well, save it for your report if you want.
Fine. Yeah.
But that's insane that you're even debating it.
I mean, it's just too plain. Like, replacement Xander looks like I don't know. He just looks too plain.
He looks like a guy who's getting a promotion and going to sign a lease.
True. Yeah. He does.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But anyway. So yeah, replacement Xander is like, hell yeah, all right, I got a new job. So then it cuts to replacement Xander now signing the lease for that fancy apartment that they looked at. And the realtor apartment lady is like seeming very flirty with him. And she's like, yeah, you know, I think that you're looking really good right now. I really like this new getup that you got. And this apartment's going to be great for you. And if you need anything at all, anytime, day or night, just call me. I'll put my home phone number here for you. Here we go. And real Xander is also spying in on this and hearing through the door like, what? replacement Xander is even getting some babes into him? This is bullshit. He's fucking not me. How is he living my life better than me? And I'm like, he's not. He is you. And also, what is this apartment lady doing?
This is male fantasy 301, 501. Yeah. Like, this is insane. She saw him walk in with a girl with a sling on her arm, getting in a weird argument, talking about how he had no money. He was about to lose his construction job. He comes back. She has credit checked him. She has seen his finances from this application.
He has no credit.
She does not know that he got promoted to this head of interior carpentry thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, what she knows is what she saw previously. And nothing about that guy was like, yes, he's got it together.
Or she has like a home wrecker kink or something.
It has to be. Because she knows that he's with a girl, too.
Like, yeah, and it was basically like his whole purpose for getting this apartment was for her and to impress her.
Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, when she's not around, I can come around. I'm like, why do you like this just out of high school kid? Like,
well, it could be because during this whole conversation, replacement Xander is shining the coin in her face as well.
Another reason to be annoyed by this guy.
Yeah.
Maybe his penmanship was that good on the application.
Maybe, dude. Or she saw that mushed up coin and was like, whoa, he's really balling.
One of the worst lines happened at the construction site where the manager gives him... the foreman gives him that promotion. And he's like, you know what you should do? You should take your lady out and celebrate.
Yeah.
And he's like, I will.
I think I will.
I was like, don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. And you know what you should do? You should go home and like really, really plow your wife after this one. That's what I would do. That's what I would do after I got her this promotion. Like,
honey, put on the red panties. We're fighting McGregor tonight.
What is that from?
It's from his Conor McGregor interview where he was talking about how like anybody that fights him gets a ton of money. Mm. He's like, you should be thankful you're fighting me. And he's like talking directly to the guy he's fighting. He's like, you'll be like, oh yeah, honey, break out the red panties. We're fighting McGregor. The guy's like, what the fuck are you saying, dude?
That's funny.
But so the apartment hunting or the apartment realtor lady, she steps outside. She like composes herself. She's like, oh, wow, man, I just got way, way too horny in front of that guy.
Like, what just happened? This is a guy you met the other day. It's no way.
Yeah. So she leaves and real Xander like pokes his head from around a corner because he doesn't want to be seen by this apartment lady. And he's like, what the fuck is going on here? And then he listens in on, does he listen in on this conversation that replacement Xander has? He flips up his phone and he calls Anya and he's like, hey, Anya. She doesn't pick up because she's not listening to Xander. She's mad at Xander. And he's leaving a message and he's like, hey, Anya, it's me, Big Daddy Xander. I just signed the lease on that apartment. You know the one. I want you to come over here and meet me here at 9 o'clock. All right. And then we get a peek into Anya's enormous, ornate bedroom situation that she has.
Yes. I don't know if this is her whole place. Like, we just see the bedroom. It's very ornate. It's very, she used to be a vampire looking.
It's like carved with all this crazy stuff.
And she's standing there because he calls and says, oh, you're probably doing that thing. Because he's leaving her a message on the answer machine, which is also a relic. And was really, really useful for TV and storytelling.
Oh, absolutely it was.
So he's leaving her a message. He's like, I know you're listening, but not picking up. And she's standing there listening, not picking up. She's like, no, I'm not. And she's like in her white nighty pajama thing and got a sling. And on the table is a Rubik's Cube. And later,
relic.
And later when Xander goes over there. She's got that three-piece boombox. You know that one that had that one and then the two speakers that you can move around?
The two speakers, so, yeah.
I saw that and I was like, that's funny.
Yeah. But Anya's listening to this message and she's like, oh, wow, maybe Xander really is changing, or like maybe I will go meet him and we can talk it out and all this stuff, because she's having an existential crisis about her life and all this stuff. But he's like, come on over. And then so this is the first instance where replacement Xander leaves and real Xander is like attacking him. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're trying to steal my life. Get the fuck out of here. And then replacement Xander gets away from real Xander.
He punches him.
And then, and then this is where real Xander's like, oh, fuck. I was going to get Buffy. I really need to get Buffy. Oh, man. I was calling her earlier. I should have just stuck with that. I need to go get Buffy.
Yeah.
So real Xander heads on over to Giles's place. Not Buffy's. Giles's place. So he goes there.
It's just like, didn't we establish that they weren't going to all just meet at Giles's place anymore? That was the magic shop thing. And now we're back at Giles's.
All back at Giles's. So they all go to Giles's place and Xander's like, all right, they'll be here and I'll talk to them about this replacement doppelganger situation. And oh no, look through the window. Replacement Xander is already there talking about how I'm the fake and we need to kill this fake because the demon created it. And real Xander's like, oh, I hope they don't believe him. I hope they don't believe him. And Bobby's like, we 100% believe you. We're going to kill that other Xander.
And he's looking through the window, the same window that Faith spied on him when she woke up. Like, this is like similar shot. And I'm sure you were thinking this. Just go inside, Xander.
Yeah. Go in and be like, no, don't listen to him. Here, let me prove.
If you think that this guy is a demon, you wouldn't want him hanging around your friends anyway.
Yeah. I'd show up. I mean, it is kind of answered later on, because
why he doesn't go inside.
Yeah, I would say that there is a reason why he doesn't go inside and like try to protect his friends.
Gotcha.
So now real Xander is all paranoid and he's like, oh fuck, they already believe him. They're all trying to hunt me. Now I have the Slayer coming after me to kill me. She thinks I'm a demon. Let me take inventory of who is here. We got Buffy, we got Riley, we got Giles. Who isn't here that I could trust? Ding, 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 Willow. I'm going to go to Willow's. So he goes to Willow's place. And he's like, Willow, I know this is crazy, but I am Xander. There's a doppelganger out there, and I will prove to you that I am real Xander, okay? Here's only stuff that you and I would know, okay? For my 7th birthday, I forget what it was, but something about his 7th birthday. And then he says another thing. And he's like, and every Christmas we spend together and we watch Charlie Brown Christmas and I do the Snoopy dance. Here, I'm going to do the Snoopy dance for you. And he does the Snoopy dance for a very long time. Willow just lets this go on.
Willow used to be in love with this guy.
Yeah. But now it's raining and real Xander looks like dog shit. Like he was wearing a weird outfit before, but now he's gross and muddy looking and wet and disgusting, and he's in a bad way. So Willow's like, okay, Xander, I believe you. So what's going on? And Xander's like doing a very poor job of explaining what's going on, but he kind of spits it out eventually that, you know, remember when that demon shot me at the city dump? It created a duplicate. I'm the real one. Now there's a duplicate telling Buffy, Riley, and Giles that I'm the fake one, but I'm the real one. You know I'm the real one. I just did the Snoopy dance. So they're trying to come after and kill me. They were duped by the doppelganger. And Will was like, okay, that is good information. Thank you, Xander. Let's try to figure this out. So then we cut back to Giles, Buffy, Riley, and replacement Xander. And Buffy kind of deduces like, oh, this must have been a thing with that demon Toth. I think that Toth is behind this. And whenever he shot you, maybe it created a duplicate. And then real Xander and Willow also deduce that it is Toth.
Well, so Willow says that it's Toth. Xander thinks it's
a robot. Xander thinks, he thinks it's an evil robot replacement. So then we go back to replacement Xander, and replacement Xander is like, oh, that's great. That is a good thought that it is this Toth guy. You guys go and hunt this other fake Xander, quote unquote fake Xander. I'm going to go meet up with Anya to protect Anya. And then real Xander is pissed and he's talking to Willow about like, I mean, this replacement Xander, he's living my life, but he's living it better than I ever could. Like he's confident. He's suave. He got a promotion. He got an apartment. Maybe I should just let him kill me and I'll die. He can go on living my life and people will be proud of me and happy to be around me because I'm just wasting my life. And Willow's like, what, dude? Are you serious? And she's like, I need your help in order to figure this out. And Xander's like, when have I ever helped? I never help. I'm always in. I was like, did this script get written by Xander Slanderer right now? He's on his pity party hardcore. He's like, I'm always the one getting in trouble. I'm always the one in peril. I'm the damsel in distress and I'm always in danger. And Willow's like, you're not always in danger. Like Buffy doesn't always save you. Sometimes it's all of us that saves you.
Yeah, and that's not true. Sometimes we all help save you, which is a great one. I think Willow in this scene is just amazing. She's great.
Really?
Allison Hannigan's got so many funny, like that's a funny line. The thing about Anya later is funny. Like, I don't know.
So Xander is like, I'm a humiliation. I'm no good. I don't have any worth in the world. I'm going to let this guy fucking live my life better than me. And in my notes, I wrote, it's been like one day and the demon replacement Xander did nothing. He's just reaping the benefits of all of your hard work. And you're just like, ah. I'll kill myself.
Not even reaping the benefits of all your hard work is basically the one job you did. You saw him get promoted and the application you filled out got accepted. Like, which is still based off of the one job. It's not even like separate.
So then he's like, I'll just let him take over my life. There's nothing that I have that he can't do. Wait a minute. There is one thing that I don't want replacement Xander to have. And it is my goyle friend, Anya. I care so much about Anya. And if he takes her away from me, I'm going to be so, so sad.
He says, I need her. And then Willow goes, really? Which is so good. And then she's like, it's crazy that you didn't think about her up until now. Which is then like a weird, like, the show's doing like this weird thing of like Xander does love her, but then that like you didn't think about her till now kind of like undercuts it a little bit. I could see Xander after seeing his self for the first time wouldn't first thing be like, gotta go talk to Anya because she's good with stuff like this.
I don't think
she'd be the first thing that came to my mind either.
Yeah, I mean, when Willow kind of guilted him about that, I was like, and then Xander has this line where he's like, well, wait till you have an evil twin and see how you handle it. And then he leaves and Willow goes, I handled it just fine.
Like, Willow's got some great stuff in this. Even when he was like, oh my God, you got to believe that it's me. She's like, why would I not believe that it's you? I have no reason. It's just like, the pity party, though, they've been trying to force the whole, like, he mentions, like, being an adult, and, like, this guy's better at being an adult than I am. Like, none of your friends are adults, dude. Giles is barely an adult.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm saying. Yeah, dude. Like, why are you feeling this bad about this? Like, you have a job. None of them have jobs.
I would see, like, the only thing it's giving him pressure is Anya at that one scene. Like, other than that, like, Willow's not like, dude, get it together. Buffy's not like, get it together. Riley's just like, hey,
huh? Dude, for all we know, Riley's homeless.
Yeah.
Like, he's living in a burned out school.
Or living in a mansion. Who knows?
Who knows, man? Yeah. But, Yeah, like none of them have, at least Xander has a job. Like he's not going to college, which is
I didn't know he still had the construction job.
Me neither, because he had like 45 other jobs in the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's the only one like actually making money. Like none of the other people have jobs. Sure, they're going to school, but like, or college, but that doesn't, yeah. But anyway, so real Xander goes over to Anya's place. And he is like looking for her. She's not there. And he goes over to her message machine and hits like the play button. And he hears the invite that replacement Xander. He's like, yeah, I got the apartment. You know the one. Come on over at 9 o'clock. And replacement Xander's like, oh, or real Xander's like, oh no, she's already heading over there. I gotta get over there fast. So then we cut to replacement Xander and Anya at the apartment.
Fully furnished.
Is it? They're sitting on the floor, though.
Yeah, they're sitting on the floor, but there's couches.
Huh.
They're having a random picnic on the living room floor, but no,
I mean, they did have a bed already in there.
There's two couches behind them. Yeah.
Damn. Man, I did not notice that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why are they sitting on the floor? I guess it's because there's no furniture or whatever. But they're sitting on the floor. They have a little like romantic picnic in the apartment planned out, it looks like. And Xander's talking to Anya, and Anya's like, you really got this apartment? You really did it? And he's like, yeah, I got it because I knew that you wanted it. And I want to make you happy and I want to please you. And they kiss. And then he asks if they talked today aside from the message that he left her. And Anya's like, no, why? And he's like, don't worry about it, babe.
Yeah, don't worry about it. She's like, okay, that's a weird question. I'm not even going to ask a follow-up.
Like, yeah. She's got her own shit going on because the next thing that she says is like, all right, so we got the apartment. So what's next in life? And Xander's like, what? She's like, yeah, when are we getting a car? When are we getting a boat? When are we getting a puppy? When are we getting children? We need to do this fast. And Xander's like, what are you talking about? I just got this. Can we celebrate this for at least a night? And Anya's like, I don't have a lot of time left, okay? I'm dying. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then Xander's like, what? You're dying? And Anya goes, yeah, I may only have about like 50, 60 years left to live. And Xander's like, oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. That makes sense.
It was funny.
I was like, yeah, that makes sense too. It
tracks. Yeah, so then Anya kind of explains like, dude, ever since I've been turned back into a human, I've realized the fragility and vulnerability of human life. And I used to be a demon. I was like thousands of years old. And now, you know, me getting knocked out and punched and dislocating my shoulder.
I got hit so hard. I had my head so hard that I dislocated my shoulder. Like, so I'm
it's
worried.
Got me pondering existence. But she's like, yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of time left. And then replacement Xander's like, oh, shit. Okay, now I understand why you're giving me all this pressure and all this stuff. And it must be freaky being thousands of years old and then realizing you only have this short amount of time, amount of time left to live. So now I understand why you're freaking out. But look, it's going to be great. And Anya's like, no, it's not going to be great. I'm going to get all old and wrinkly and my teeth are going to fall out. I'm going to have to replace them with fake teeth that I stick to my mouth with an adhesive. And she's like, you're not going to like me or find me attractive anymore. And replacement Xander's like, dude, that is not true. Things will get worse, though. He's like, you are going to get old and wrinkly. And I can't guarantee that I will always be in love with you or whatever. I can't see the future. I don't know what's going to happen. But I think that's a beautiful part of life. And I would like to try to get through it together with you. And it's a kind of romantic thing.
I love it when they split these actors up and they get to play different facets, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like he's a smooth operator here.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is like, all right, Val, like, it's all right. Sure.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. Yeah. As like when you're talking to a 1,000-year-old demon and trying to like comfort her about her impending doom.
Yeah. No, I mean, both things make sense. Like, you know, I mean, like it really tracks. And I did wonder why she thought she'd get old and he wouldn't.
Like, yeah. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to get old and you're not going to be a try. He's like, yeah, I'm going to get old.
Yeah. Like, and also, just have Willow whip up a spell. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, you got no magic.
So they kiss again. It's all romantic. And real Xander, real Xander busts into the door and he's like, get out of here. That guy's a fake. I'm the real Xander. And then replacement Xander stands up and he's like, no, that's the fake. I'm the real Xander. We have a whole which one do I shoot situation. And Anya is confused, but not really, because she's like, I don't fucking like that disgusting looking Xander. I like this clean one that just promised he's going to get old with me. So then we cut to the gang researching.
And meanwhile, the demon has not shown up at all.
No. The demon's still at large.
And Spike's scene is the last that we see of Spike.
Yes. Him kicking the head off that mannequin.
Yeah.
So really convenient for him to find all the stuff that he needs to make a fake Buffy while going to the city.
What a waste of time.
I know. Oh my god, dude. I guess if you got a chip in you, you gotta waste your time somehow, you know? Oh, he only knows one way to live and he can't do it anymore, so he's gotta kick mannequin heads off.
Passions is on hiatus till the fall, so.
Yeah. So the gang is researching about Toph, and Willow shows up and she's there to tell them, like, hey, you guys were talking to a fake Xander. The real Xander came to me. And they're like, what? That can't be true, because we were talking to the real Xander and you must have been talking to the fake Xander. Meanwhile, Giles is reading a book this whole time and he's like, oh my God, I just discovered something. And everyone's like, you always say, oh my God, what did you discover?
Oh dear Lord.
Yeah.
Also, when Willow walks in, he goes, now I know I've locked that door, which is the moment I realized that the writers have fully crossed over into reading the comment sections online.
Yeah.
Because we've been calling out this door locking thing since last season. Yeah. And now they're just calling it out too. Like, they are starting to listen to like fan stuff. You can tell. Mm-hmm. And on Discord, people have mentioned it. Like, this is where like chatting and commenting on stuff and blogs and fanfic and all that stuff was rising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Giles explains that he discovered in this book that neither of the Xanders are fake. And they're not demons. They're not robots. When Toph hit Xander with that Roman candle thing, it split his personalities into two separate bodies. So one of the Xanders is the cool, confident, smooth, suave Xander. And the other one are all of his worst qualities, which is like paranoia, feelings of abandonment, and all that neurotic stuff.
Now, I'll say this. If this is supposed to be worst Xander, that's not the worst. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of that Rick and Morty episode where they get the toxins taken out of them. And there's like toxic Rick and Morty and non-toxic. But they need both sides of each other to be who they are and all that stuff. But like, the toxic versions of themselves are toxic. Like, this is like not really, it's just like the weaker version of Xander, not like his worst impulses.
Yeah, because the worst impulses of Xander would be way worse than this.
Yes.
Like, this is just like paranoid, neurotic Xander. Like, he's probably got some darkness within him, you know?
They say that the plan for the demon was to shoot Buffy with it and split her into like a super slayer and then a weak regular person,
Buffy.
And then Riley's like, but then there'd be like a all potent, powerful Slayer that he had to fight. And then Giles is like, well, he could just kill the weak one, and then they would kill the other one. It's like, if one dies, they all die.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was an interesting take. I feel like the Super Slayer would absolutely just demolish this demon before he even got a chance to get to weak Buffy.
It's dumb.
It was interesting.
No, I mean, I like this, but it's like demons are to come up with the dumbest plans. You know, it would have helped if you could actually hit her with something, you know, like a bullet, that would solve your problem right away.
Yeah.
It's the Jurassic Park issue. This gun points a laser at your target, and then that laser makes the dinosaur chase after them. You don't need a dinosaur if you have a gun pointed at a person.
I love how often we bring up Jurassic World in those movies. We will never review those movies before watching them.
I refuse. Oh my God. I refuse.
It's so funny. Maybe if they make a new one. But yeah, they need both halves to survive. So if weak Xander dies, then confident Xander dies, and then Xander is no more. Mm-hmm. So after we reveal this information, we cut back to real Xander and replacement Xander. And real Xander is like, that's not the real one. He's a fake. Replacement Xander is like, no, he's the fake, and I'm going to kick his ass right now. And I'm just like, do it, real replacement Xander. I hate that fucking bullshit, dirty, wet, stinky Xander. And then dirty, wet, stinky real Xander is like, oh, yeah, you're going to kick my ass? Pulls a gun on him. Whoa.
Wow, wow, wow.
Raising the stakes.
Yeah. And this turns out to be Anya's gun. That's why he went to Anya's place.
Well, I don't think it's why he went to Anya's place, but it's no, because he went to Anya's place to get there before replacement Xander could.
But then he's looking through her like dressers.
But then he does look through her dressers to grab the gun.
Okay, so it was a secondary reason why he went.
It was
there.
Like, well, he's already with Anya.
Yeah,
I know she has a gun. Okay. How did he know she has a gun? That's nuts, dude.
I think it's fine. I think Anya would tell you that she had a gun for protection. I don't think she's like,
yeah, you know what, she would.
She's not like,
she's very blunt about everything. She would be like, yeah, I've got a gun.
Yeah,
I got 40.
Yeah. I'm completely fine with Anya having a gun, by the way, too.
Everybody needs to have some kind of protection,
especially in Sunnydale. I mean, I don't think
Sunnydale, absolutely.
I don't think the gun's gonna protect you from most of the things you need protection from. Like, I'm not really worried about regular criminal humans in Sunnydale. But doesn't Xander have guns in his basement? Like, why would he go here to get the gun? But he went there to get her. He went there to get her, and then he had no time to go back home. So,
well, also at this point, dirty, stinky, terrible Xander was locked out of his own place. Remember?
I don't think he was locked out. I think he didn't want to. I think he just didn't want to get in. I'm sure he could knock on the front door.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, his folks would have to come home, and he could come down.
Yeah.
But yeah, so unconfident Xander pulls a gun on confident Xander, and I was like, damn.
And this is right when we know one of them dies, they both die. So it's like, ooh, yeah, added stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was great. I loved that. Yeah. So then the Xanders and Anya gets in the middle of this. They all have a struggle because they do not want to shoot anybody. Anya gets in the middle of it. The gun falls to the ground.
They're fighting. It's up in the air. They're all doing that up in the air thing.
And I thought somebody was going to fire it. And I was like, damn, this apartment situation is going to fall through real quick.
No, the realtor's going to be like, wow, you killed someone.
The realtor's going to come back.
Like, you killed someone.
You killed a gun?
You killed Anya for me? You never told me you had a brother. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the gun falls to the ground. And then
I don't think the gun falls to the ground.
It absolutely falls to the ground.
At this point?
I know it does at some point.
I think at this point, they all have their hands at it, and it's like up in the air.
Oh, yeah. It's all up in the air.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Riley driving 70 down a regular neighborhood street. And Buffy's like, can you go any faster? I was like, I'm going fucking 70, dude.
My biggest question here was, how has Buffy been getting around?
Yeah.
She's in this car. They're going 70 to get to this apartment from Giles' place, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Riley wasn't there and didn't have a car, how was she going to get there? Because we see her just like run to places, it seems like.
Well, is Riley driving Giles' new car?
No, it didn't look like it.
Okay. Because I was like, it did look like a red convertible with the top up. But I guess, like, Giles could drive her around.
But sometimes she shows up to places without Giles. Like, she goes to Giles' place. You know, like,
she's got Slayer speed, I guess.
She just dead sprint.
Yeah. We've seen her sprint across graveyards and stuff before.
Yeah, but if they're going, she's not running 70 miles per hour.
Yeah, fair. But so then we have this conversation where Buffy's like, man, Xander getting split into two. I have a question for you, Riley. And Riley's like, oh, what is it? I know it's going to be one of these freaking questions. Like, would you still love me? Blah, blah, blah. Like, do you ever wish that I was split into two? And Riley's like, no, I don't. Okay. Would you love me if I was a lamp?
Yeah, it's just like her bringing this up is like, I get it. It was kind of set up in the beginning where she's like, hey, turn off your work stuff every now and then. But it's like, Buffy, he wouldn't even be alive if you weren't the Slayer. Like,
yeah. She's like, wouldn't you like me better if I didn't have all this Slayer stuff? Because then you could be in love with me while the Super Slayer is out doing Slayer stuff, and I could just be a normal girl, and you'd be a normal girl. And Riley's like, hey, shut up, dude. Like, I love you for who you are, and without the Slayer stuff, you wouldn't be you, and I love you for you, and I love you, and you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I just want to say it one more time. I'm in love with you. And Buffy goes, mm-hmm. We better get to Xander's place soon.
Yeah. Because if he kills himself, he's dead.
And I was just like, damn, dude, you're still not saying I love you back. Remember when Forrest died? But we get a very, very, this is a setup for something that happens later that devastated my heart a little bit.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Buffy and Riley show up to Xander's new apartment in the middle of the gun struggle. Replacement Xander has the gun now. And he's like, it's Anya's gun. And Riley goes, you own a gun? To Anya. And then as they're tussling and fighting, Buffy's like, stop both of you right now. You can't kill each other because both of you are real, all right? That Xander over there, that's the confident side of Xander. That Xander over there, that's the neurotic side of Xander. You're both real, and we need to smush you back together to make you one whole person again, all right? Because you are both the real people. And there's this joke there about, like, they both try to prove that they're the real Xander. And Buffy's like, guess what number I have in my head? And they both say 11 and a half. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. So then.
And then we talk about the nickel, too.
Yeah, I was going to say unconfident Xander is like, no, it's not true. He's not real. This can't be true because he has a coin in his pocket that has been putting people under his spell and convincing them. He used it on the construction site manager. He used it on the apartment lady. And confidence.
I will say this, to go back, it makes it seem like, because we were saying, like, why does Xander think this guy is living his life better than him if he hasn't done anything? He thinks the hypnotism is why this stuff is happening. So that is a fair reason for him to be like, oh, I only got promoted because of the hypnotism, not because he was just promoted because I looked like him. So that actually.
But then it could be like, I got to get my hands on one of those hypnotism coins.
True, but he doesn't think that.
He does.
No,
he absolutely does. Because he doesn't mention the coin to Willow at all when he's talking about how he's living his life better than him.
Yeah, he doesn't. But, like, I think he believes it because I think he believes the coin is working, though.
Oh, he absolutely
believes that's what I'm saying. That's what I think. Working. So he doesn't think that he got the promotion because of his work. After he thinks he he got the promotion because he hypnotized him, right? I mean, it's still a little bit of a...
That's a bit of a stretch, I feel.
I think that, I mean, it's...
But this is paranoid Xander.
Yeah. Like, he thinks this guy hypnotized... I don't think he thinks rationally that a person gave him a promotion for a job because of what he does. He thinks he's terrible at construction because of the whole paranoid Xander.
Yeah. But he's like, he's got this coin that hypnotizes people. It's in his pocket. Don't let him use it on you. And then... cool and suave Xander pulls out the coin and is like, what, this thing? And he shines it in Buffy's face. He's like, close your eyes, close your eyes. He's like, no, this is just a smushed up nickel that I found on the railroad tracks and I thought it was cool and I've just been kind of playing with it all day. And they're like, oh, so that was nothing? And he's like, yeah, this is nothing.
Even cool, confident Xander stole a kid.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I mean, you can still kind of see a smushed up Washington or mm-hmm. Jefferson or whoever's on this. You can still see him on there. I think it's pretty sweet. And in the middle of this explanation, the demon guy shows up, Toth. And he shoots his little gun at Buffy again.
How does he know where they are?
No idea. He's got a tail on him.
So basically, he showed up at the magic shop, the dump where I guess he hangs out. And now Xander's new apartment.
Xander's new apartment that he just signed a lease on.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So he shoots the Roman candle gun at Buffy. She jumps out of the way. And everybody's like, don't let it hit you. Riley jumps in. He starts fighting this thing. And he's like, he's holding his own for a little bit. And then he eventually gets shoved off. Then Buffy fights him. Buffy stabs Toth with a sword that Riley gives her. And Toth is no more.
We're getting a lot of alley-oop kills in these between this and Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little hint towards Boys Watching Angel, huh? So then after Toth is killed, the gang goes back to the magic shop and Giles is there. He's creating a pentagram on the ground mm-hmm. to reverse this spell. And everybody's like examining both of the Xanders. They're like, look at them. They're identical. And Buffy's looking. He's like, look, he's got the same scar here. They got the same this. They got the same that. And Riley is just sitting there. He's like, this is fascinating. Don't you just want to lock them in separate rooms and do experiments on them? It's like, man, he's still got the initiative in him. You can take the boy out the initiative, but you can't take the initiative out the boy.
I'm telling you, I love the weird darkness that's underneath Riley. Like, yeah. I would have loved for Riley to be split. Yeah. It's like, it would be like a psychopath serial killer and like the nicest like farm boy ever.
So everybody just kind of looks at Riley like, what the fuck, dude? Are you kidding me? He's like, what? So then Buffy goes away and Anya's like, oh, man, this is crazy that, you know, you guys are here. It's like, I'm looking at two Xanders and are you guys identical in every single way? Identical parts, you know what I'm saying? Wink, wink, wink. And then both of the Xanders like, oh, yeah, we checked some stuff out in the car in the back seat. And Anya's like, hold the phone, everybody. We don't need to do this. Can we just leave it for a night so I can have a three-way and get fucking Eiffel Towered by these two Xanders? Yeah. And everyone's like, gross? No. Giles is like, I want to pretend that I did not hear that. Yeah. So they're like, all right.
Giles and then like both. Giles and his orgasm friend.
I know. And so the Xanders are like really kind of getting along at this point. And they're like, yeah, this is awesome. It's kind of cool having like two of us. It's pretty sick. And they're like, no. We got to put you two back together and make you whole again.
Here's the thing. Like even Vamp Willow and regular Willow were getting along.
And eventually.
Yeah. No matter what, they always get along at the end.
Well, I guess at the root of everything, it is them, you know? Mm-hmm. So... But Willow's like, all right, no, it's time to do this spell, all right? She drags both of them in the middle of this pentagram. And they're like, is this spell going to take a long time? Is it really hard? And Willow's like, no, here's all we need to do. And then Willow goes, let the spell be ended. And Xander is one again. And I was like, what the fuck?
I loved it. Because that's what we've been saying. They just say, that's what they've been doing normally. And now they're just calling it out and making it even better. Like, I loved it. I thought it was perfect.
I thought it was so stupid.
Did you want them to go through an elaborate process here.
I wanted them to like light a candle or something. Like say it in Latin.
Giles is drawing that thing on the floor.
He did draw like a pentagram.
Yeah.
Like this is the most basic, and like he literally just drew a pentagram and Willow said, let the spell be ended, yeah. And it was over.
But she had to believe it. She had to believe that she wanted it to be over.
She didn't even have like a book open. Like have a book or something. Like is way too simple.
I loved it. But Amy the rat should not still be a rat.
Fair. They should bring her into the middle of that pentagram too and just be like, let the spell be ended.
Yeah.
And Anya is like, oh man, I liked it the other way where there's two of them that could pork me at the same time. Oh, well, yeah. We can dream at least. Yeah.
That's how her arm got dislocated.
Yeah. So then we go to Xander's basement and Xander is moving out of the basement still. Still, he signed a lease. It's real.
This is a season of new locations.
Yeah. So Xander's moving all of his stuff out. Riley's there. Buffy's there. Anya's there.
They're all helping him. I gotta say, I like Buffy in her baseball shirt. I don't know why. It kind of works for her.
Looks pretty good.
Mm.
Looks pretty good. So will not be mentioned on the fashion report. But boy, does Buffy get old. She's gonna be getting a lot. She's gonna be getting a lot. So Anya's there just kind of like reading a book, not helping at all. Xander is there. He's starting to get nostalgic and he's like, oh man, it's kind of crazy. Like, you know, I hated living in this place, but now that I'm moving out, I'm getting a little nostalgic. Like over there, that's where me and Anya drowned a blah, blah, blah demon. And there's where I got my heart ripped out. And over there's, you know what? I fucking hate this place. I'm glad that I'm moving out.
Mm-hmm.
And so he walks over.
Granted, at the other place, you ran into your doppelganger, split personality, and she killed a demon in there. So, like, the first night there was just as dangerous as the magic shop.
Yes, absolutely. And the basement. Yeah. Like, everything is terrible in this entire city. Like, you're not going to have good memories.
No.
So Anya's not wearing her sling anymore. And Buffy's like, oh, you're all healed up. And she's like, yeah, I'm ready to go on living my life as a fragile, pathetic, weak human being, I guess. But I guess I'll learn to be more careful. So Xander walks over to Anya. He's like, hey, you mind helping? And she's like, what? Why do I have to fucking help? This is bullshit. This is stupid. Why don't we just like pack up Buffy? Why can't she do it? She's got super strength. Let's use her like a packing mule. And Xander's like, will you please just help? I'm asking you nicely. And Anya does like the Paul Rudd in Wet Hot American Summer where she's like, oh, oh, oh. And I was like, dude, Anya's the worst in this episode.
Xander has the patience of a saint dealing with Anya.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't get it.
Like, I like Anya as a character. I think she's funny. She mm-hmm. has not crossed over too many times into like the loving, like, There was that one time
where she like cuddled him on the bed.
Yeah. But other than that, it's mostly like just saying the most awkward stuff around his friends, being mm-hmm. inappropriate. Like you can't take her anywhere.
No.
Like she's a basement girlfriend. like you're not going out on double dates and dinner like that. Her and Riley and Buffy hanging out is just awkward.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Willow doesn't like her.
And I mean, with good reason. Like, she's the worst in this. Like, this is the worst I've ever seen. Like, they upped it. And I get she's having an existential crisis. But, like, even after they had the conversation about growing old together, like, this scene, she's still the worst.
Yeah.
She's not helping at all.
You know what got me? Is that she didn't react when the two Xanders were joking about the real estate agent coming on to him.
Yeah, that's what I was. He was like, yeah, we had that babe macking on us.
Yeah. And they're like,
okay. I thought that somebody was going to say something.
Yeah, they were like, stand in the middle of the circle so that she can say her line and get you back. But I was like, is no one going to react to them having that lady hit on them? Like, Riley should be like, her? She hit on you?
After all, she saw.
Anya's not jealous or anything? Like, crazy.
But, so Anya eventually helps. And she goes and takes a box outside. So now we're left with just Riley and Xander in the basement. And they decide to have a nice little chat. And Riley's like, huh, you really do love her, don't you? And Xander's like, yeah, she's pretty great. You know, she has her faults, but I really do. I'm a big fan of Anya. And Riley's like, I know what you mean, man. Sometimes when I'm with Buffy, I feel like I'm, you know, split in two, you know, because part of me is just like on fire and I can't keep my hands off of her. And while the other part is like so calm and peaceful, and it's like such a weird dichotomy, but man, I fucking am so in love with her and it's crazy. But the worst part about it is she doesn't love me and I can tell that. And I was like,
and then it lingers on like, and then Buffy comes over and like, hey, and then kisses him. And then we just get like the shot of Xander, like just looking like after that bomb has just been dropped.
Yeah. And Xander is like sad for him. It's like, damn, dude.
Like, I did not expect this episode to end like this at all.
Yeah, it was a bummer. Like, I talk about how Riley's bland and milk and fucking bread and just plain Greek yogurt. He is a nothing boring guy. But when he was like, I love her so much, but I know that she's not in love with me. And I've been like saying like, yeah, Buffy hasn't said I love you back. Yeah. Like, nobody says I love you back in the show.
I know.
And
when he drops that. She's got to get with Spike.
Yeah. Dude, when she dropped that bomb, when he would drop that bomb, it sunk me. I was like, damn, dude.
That is the crazy thing about people who still don't like Riley. Like, after all, like, I don't know what happens the rest of his run on the show, whatever. But like, people that we talk to on Discord, they've seen all of the whole show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're still like, I don't really like Riley. And I'm like, I got a little bit of sympathy for him, at least here. Like,
yeah, I mean, I still don't like him, like, as a character, but I feel bad for the character now.
I think they could have done so much more with this character. I think the idea of this character is fine. It just doesn't work. But this is a, like, the way he says this with his, like, where he always kind of has, like, that smile on his face when he says she doesn't love me. And then she comes right over and he kisses her and, like,
it's so painful.
I don't know where this goes right away.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
And Xander knows it too. So, like, this is an interesting thing because he is one of those, like, he's going to talk about it. He's going to bring it up.
Well, it's also like Xander didn't even have a chance to be like, no, I'm sure she loves, like, as soon as Riley's like, she doesn't love me, he like boxes something up and Buffy comes back in and Xander's just left there kind of stunned, like, damn. It was tough, man. And like seeing him kiss Buffy immediately after that, it was like dead man walking, like, you know what I mean?
And I gotta say, I would be doing exactly what Riley was doing in this situation. I think if you're in Sunnydale, she doesn't love you, right? But she still hangs out with you. You guys still hook up.
Not that bad. You're not protected.
And you're protected. Like, it's not the worst thing.
Yeah, but if you want love in
like,
your
I know,
life,
I mean, he's gotten to a certain point where he's going to be like, I got to leave this, but man. Yeah. It's like a, it's like one of those people marrying for money or something. It's like,
yeah, he's like, just like a husk of a man. Like,
I mean, now that he's like admitted it and admitted it to Xander of all people, like,
yeah, because like right before Xander's talking about like, I'm not still in love with Buffy. Yeah. I don't have a crush on her. Yeah. Not that I ever did.
He's like, I don't care. He's like, I don't care. I know I'm
got way more. I got way more important. You can have her, dude. Like,
if she randomly hooked up with you one day, I'd be like, sure, I guess that's who she loved. Like,
it's heartbreaking.
It's a gut punch from a character that the episode wasn't about at all.
Well, it was a gut punch because, as we know, as everyone that listens to this show, podcast knows, we haven't seen it. And when I'm calling out, like, she doesn't say I love you back. Yeah. Like, I thought it was like this huge joke, like a mistake or something. No, no. And when it's finally acknowledged and it's Riley's like, yeah, she never says it back. And I say it and I'm so about her and she's not about me. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I thought that this was fun and games and funny and like a mistake. And it's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it sucks.
Yeah. It's no way they missed that on purpose. Because like, I've always said this. The love thing is just such a media construction of like, oh, when is the moment he says I love you? It's like, you know, people can say I love you and not mean it. Like, yeah, it's just a word. Yeah. It's just a simple word, but they put so much weight on it. And it works for like TV and rom-coms and movies and stuff where it's like, oh my God, they said it. You can play the music swell and you're like, oh, great. But yeah, he does say it twice to her and she doesn't do it.
Yeah. At least twice that I can recall. Like when Forrest died and in this episode.
I think he did it before Forrest died too. It might have been a time before that that she said
something. I think he does.
Yeah. So it might be, three. she should. Hey, are you talking about loving me again? Because I just crashed your car out front. Yeah.
He does always say it at very inopportune times, it seems like. Like when Adam is like terrorizing town, Forrest just died. And also when Xander, there's a demon and all this stuff. They're driving to kill a replacement demon or whatever. He's just like, hey, I love you. If I were Buffy, it would make sense to be like, we've got more important stuff right now. Can we
you know
put
what?
A pin in this?
No. Now I'm going to defend Riley's time of saying it. They're driving. And she goes, would you like me more if I was?
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't love him, but she still wants to guilt him into liking her more. You know that?
Yeah.
Like, come on. That's why he's like, I don't want to have this conversation. Like, why do I have to prove?
You know what? That is a great point. She does the whole, would you love me if I was a lamp situation?
Yeah. And he's like, I love you. And she's like, cool, cool, cool. That's all I needed. No.
Ew, you love me? Ew. Nerd. Ha ha, you love me.
You loser. You and your feelings.
This is the first time we're driving, huh? Is this because you're on the open road? You can really clear your head and you really feel this love, nerd.
I kind of want that to happen. I want Buffy to just go down, like just bad girlfriend, Rob. Just making fun of Riley, trying to get him to break up with her.
Yeah, this loser loves me. Get it? Oh, I mean, I get it. I'm cool, but like,
oh, you're going to be nice to my mom so she likes you.
What's next? You're going to be nice to my fake sister that's a demon? All right. Well, and that's also where the episode ends. You got any final thoughts about the replacement, Vance?
No, what did we predict? I don't know if we had any goals.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't this.
No.
I think it was like we were talking about how Dawn was replacing somebody. That's how we predicted. So, we were way off regardless. The next episode is titled Out of My Mind. Is this Riley confessing his love and confronting Buffy about the love situation?
Gosh, out of my mind. I think this is going to be a Giles something. I think we're going to do something with Giles in the magic shop, and he's going to lose. He's going to go. It's going to be crazy.
Okay.
It's going to be a
Giles loses his marbles.
A Doctor Strange madness. What's that?
Multiverse of madness?
Yeah. He's going to look
involving Giles.
He's going to look at a crystal in the magic shop and like get sucked into it and split into 80 different personalities.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good prediction.
That's my prediction. Like,
I mean, I'm predicting the Riley stuff because he does, when he's confessing her right before she says that Forrest died, he's like, when I'm so in love with you, I'm out of my mind. I can't even think straight or whatever. So that's what makes me believe that would be playing into it. But who knows? We'll find out next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sign up for our Discord, sign up for our Patreon. We got Boys Watching Angel, Joe's Fashion Report, Boys Watching Movies with Renfield, Amazon Wishlist, Throne Wishlist, whatever. Just follow the Instagram, at Boys Watching Buffy, email boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. If you want to get a shout out, rate and review on Apple Podcasts, or do the Spotify screenshot thing to my DMs, at Joe Welke. And stay tuned next time for what we talk about Out of My Mind.
I am well aware of how lucky I am.
like lottery lucky. Buffy's like nobody else in the world. When I'm with her, it's like I'm split in two. Half of me is just on fire, going crazy if I'm not touching her. The other half is so still and peaceful, just perfectly content. Just knows this is the one. But she doesn't love me.